Good morning, everyone, and welcome. We're delighted that you're with us this morning. There are so many that are home from college and universities and back home from military service and friends and family that have joined together for Thanksgiving, and we're delighted to have you in the house this morning. Can you help me welcome all of these friends back home? How many had a funeral for a turkey on Thursday? Continuing on with our series, we're in week four of What Would Jesus Say? I remind you once again that this series is based on the hypothetical question that what if Jesus would enter into this sanctuary this morning, come walking up to this pulpit? What would he say to us regarding living victoriously in this unprecedented time of world history? Specifically this morning, what would Jesus say about all the change that is happening round about us? You know, 2020 has been a year of massive change. More change has taken place in this one single year than in the previous 50 years combined. The torrent of change that has come in so many ways has literally shaken some, and others, they've embraced all the change and they're rather enjoying it. It has changed the way that we work. Working remotely now has become a way of life for 66% of the American workforce. Zoom meetings have replaced face-to-face meetings. There's not a week that goes by that I'm not on a Zoom meeting, some that lasts as long as 6 hours. And, you know, in many ways, I've gotten to kind of enjoy that because I don't have to be in a hotel room some way away, and I don't have to be flying and in airports. Kind of nice to go on, do your business by Zoom. But it's a change. It has changed the way we worship corporately. As we come into the sanctuary today, there's, you know, distances that we place, you know, rows that we use for first service and second service. You've noticed we do not pass an offering throughout the aisleways and through the rows as a protection so that we don't have everyone touching the same thing and passing it down. And there's a lot of things that have changed. We have changed the way we socialize. There's limitations now on public and private gatherings all across the nation. We have changed the way we educate. There are terms now, distance education. There are terms, virtual education. And this has changed so much, you know, the way and not only the means of delivery, but what it means to families. Now they're finding that their children are home and not in school, or they're not consistently in school. They've got a hybrid where they're in school for 3 days and home for two, and your schedule, you don't know how to schedule. It's a change. It has changed the way we buy and the way we sell. You know, one-way aisles and arrows and dots on the floor in stores, reminding us to keep our distance. Cash transactions are down by 50%. No one wants to handle cash. Brick and mortar sales have plummeted while sales online have skyrocketed. I was listening to a radio personality on WTMJ, and he was talking about how his wife for years would love to go out at midnight after Thanksgiving and go out and get all those Friday, you know, doorbusters, you know, and so she'd leave the house, you know, around midnight or so, and the stores were opening up once again for, you know, what we would call Black Friday. And he said this year, he went to bed around midnight and realized by 1:30 in the morning, his wife wasn't in bed. And so he got up, went downstairs to check out, finding out what she's up to. And there she was on the computer ordering like crazy all across the nation. She said, I just could not break the habit. Hygiene rules have taken on a new and heightened level of importance. Professional sports are being played without spectators. travel bans both within and without the United States. Most nations of the world right now, even if you have a passport, will not allow you in. The terms COVID-19 and quarantine have become part of our daily vocabulary. My smallest grandchildren, they speak about COVID-19. They talk about being quarantined and all of this. All of our lives have been impacted to one degree or another. Change is happening, and it is happening at such a rapid pace that one can hardly keep up. You know, change that we initiate, we're fine with. But change that has been thrust upon us by someone else, we don't much like. So, what would Jesus have to say about change if he were to walk into this sanctuary, step behind this pulpit this morning? The Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, the New Testament, it is called the Revelation, and in some it's called the Apocrypha, or the apocryphal book. It is the Apocalypse. Yes, Revelation given to John and on the Isle of Patmos. It spans, if you read it through carefully, it spans three different time zones: the past, the present, and the future. Look at it there in Revelation 1 and verse 19. Write therefore, this was the words of the angel to John, write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. It is speaking about change. I want you to write that which has been seen in the past, that is past tense. I want you to declare what you see now, present tense. And what will take place later, which is future tense. Past, present, and future. None of us will ever forget the unfolding events of Tuesday, September 11, 2001. Within the span of 102 minutes, life changed for all of us in America and to some degree all around the world. Terrorism that we once safely watched from our living rooms and only on television had now come to our shores in the United States. And the American psyche has never been the same since. We're immeasurably more suspicious. We're more cautious. We're more distrusting of others. After all, that individual could be one of them. One that would choose to do harm because they're no longer across an ocean from us. They're now living in our cities. They're now in our malls. They are now moving through our streets. And there's a certain cautiousness about us. And we're distrusting of others. We've all heard the phrase, see something, say something. And it's become, once again, it's part of the psyche of our nation. If you see something, don't stand back and just wonder if it might be a danger. If you see something, say something. All of that has been a massive change in the psyche of America. Fast forward with me now to Friday, March the 13th, 2020, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. When President Trump declared a national emergency related to COVID-19 and the pandemic, which is worldwide. Without fear of contradiction, I would dare say that COVID's impact, both short-term and long-term, will far exceed the effects of 9/11. Fear is high. Patience is low. On Thanksgiving Day, there was a number that lost their lives, shootings, and out of most of them, it was one family member or one friend shooting and taking another individual's life. It seems as though our nerves are on edge. The fear level is so high, and patience with one another is so low. I can't imagine ever taking a life, let alone on a day that we're supposed to be thinking about all of the blessings of God. The battle of the mass has turned friends into foes. The misnomer of shutting down an economy like that of the United States and even in the nations of the world, and then restarting it like an automobile that was shut down for an hour on a parking lot, has proven to be a fallacy. Restaurants, malls, office buildings, schools, entire universities, churches, all sitting empty. And of those who have chosen to reopen, many are struggling to reach more than 50% of their pre-COVID numbers. We hear much about a new normal. But in truth, most of us rather like the way things once were. And friends, that is the dynamic tension of the hour. Are we going to find a new normal, or are we going to try to go back to what once was? I want you to go back with me now for a moment to where we started. Revelation, the revelation given to John the Apostle, spans in three time zones, past, present, and future. And there's no way to pass without change from the past to the present, no way to go from the present to the future without there being change. So in verse 19, write therefore, John, I want you to carefully jot down. I want you to write for all time. Write therefore what you have seen, past tense, what is now, present tense, and what will take place later. As a pastor of a church for four decades, I think about the good old days often. And I would say to you this morning, I loved, in so many ways, the good old days, the way things were prior to March the 13th of this year. I love the way we could gather as families. I love the way our kids were picked up on big school buses and taken off to classes for the day, and they enjoyed not only the education, but the friendship and the fellowship. And I loved all of this. I loved the way we would gather together and worship, and we could have the place full to the brim, and we would have wonderful moments with God and with each other. There is a book that has been written. It's called The Five Voices. If you have not read the book, I would highly encourage you to pick up a copy and read it. It is fascinating. It talks about five different basic personality traits. And of these five, the one would be a nurturer. So it's an individual that nurtures. Another that is a guardian, guards that which has been. That individual that's creative and always forward looking. The person that's a connector, loves to connect people one with another. And connects with them and connects with them well. And the other is the pioneer. The pioneer is not so concerned about the past or the present, but always looking somewhere down the road towards the future. Now, the five voices, and I've taken the test, and it will only take you about 5 minutes to take it. You can take it online even, costs you nothing, but I would encourage you to get the book. By nature, I tend to be a guardian. A guardian is one that respects the past, looks at the past, and really wants to make sure that the future is shaped by what the past has been. Now, I could even defend that if I wanted to biblically, but I believe you could actually go back to each and every one of them, whether it's the nurturer, the pioneer, any one of the five voices, you could defend them scripturally. But the Bible says that we're not to quickly move the ancient landmarks. We're not to remove these markers. And so, by nature, that's kind of my makeup. That's who I am. I appreciate immensely the history of this church long before I arrived. I appreciate the history of our nation. And I do not believe that history ought to be revisioned or rewritten. I loved every bit about the past. I love pressing into the altars on a Sunday morning. where we literally filled this to the point where there was no room and people would be laying here on the platform itself, seeking the face of God. You see, I believe that lives are altered at the altar. And I believe that God can do more in a moment at an altar than we'll ever be able to see happen through years of counseling or the like. I believe in the altar. And as a result of the moment and the time in which we're now living, we're trying to find other creative ways and how we can safely still come to the altar and protect one another as we love each other in the body of Christ. I loved our community meals. I loved getting together with the primetimers Thanksgiving. When over in the food court, there'd be several hundred of our senior saints and just a time of sitting across the tables and having a wonderful Thanksgiving meal and sharing in the goodness of God. And I loved all of that. I loved the moments when the sanctuary would be packed to the ceiling. Easter and Christmas, many of you, you've been with us long enough to know what wonderful times they have been. 12 to 15,000 people coming through our doors on Christmas and Easter and just seeing our community and ministering to our community, and what a great time it was. For these major events, as you well know, for some of you, you were actually trained and you were part of our team in what we call pew packers, encouraging people when we had more individuals waiting outside the doors that could not find seats, sometimes several hundred of them. We would send in the pew packers, and they would encourage everyone to squeeze in tighter in the row. Hands down, I loved every bit, past tense, of what once was. And that's my basic nature, is to be a guardian of that which has been. Now that brings me to what is now, the past. But let's talk for a moment about what is now. And I would say to you this morning and declare that now is not what once was. Let that sink in. This moment, remember, we're talking about three different time zones, past, present, and future. We talked about the past, talked about how I love the past. However, the now is not what once was. This moment does not reflect much of what the past has been. Easter Sunday, 2020. The total in-house attendance was 21 individuals. Matter of fact, to have 21 inside the house, comprised of pastors and our media staff that all work to bring, you know, our transmission by way of live streaming, not only to our city, our nation, but around the world as well. The 21 that was in this room on Easter Sunday was absolutely an amazing day for me to think about what once was. 12 to 15,000 had now been reduced to 21, and the 21 put us 11 over what we were supposed to have by the mandate. The mandate said 10. We can't even operate the equipment that needs to be operated with 10, and so we had 21. I asked Pastor Tonto, I said, I'd love for you to go out and take some pictures inside and out on this Easter Sunday 2020 so that I would never forget this day. Well, you see on the screen, that is how I preached on Easter Sunday. It was certainly not what was once. And while I was having then my own Easter Sunday pity party, in the midst of it all, God reminded me that Easter is not about me. That Easter is about Jesus and his power over Satan, sin, death, and the grave. You see, dwelling on the past while living in the present robs us of the uniqueness of that moment. And I believe that every single moment and all the change that surrounds us, it has both, you know, a memory to it of what once was, But I believe we need to be careful that we do not get stuck in history, that we need to live in this moment. And if we're always dwelling on the past, we're going to miss, we'll be robbed of the uniqueness of that moment. And that Sunday, that was a moment that I hope I'll never see again. Nonetheless, on that day, we received messages from men and women all across the nation and even from other nations of the world that gave their lives to Jesus Christ because it was being live streamed at that moment. Friends, I'm so glad to tell you today, Jesus said, I will build my church and COVID will not stop it. There will not be a mandate that will stop my church. Yes, it may be different at a moment of time, but he has promised that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So the present is not like the past. Stick with me now. The present, this moment, as we join together for worship this morning, that we try the best we can to make sure that it's a safe and clean and good environment. The roads are all marked, first service, second service, everything cleaned in between. We do not pass offering plates down the roads. Even with communion, if you remember right, in communion, what we did last week, we had separate cups for every single individual. All of this is in light of the current moment in which we're living. So the present isn't like the past. And the future is not going to be like the present. Get that in your heart. Grab a hold of that. The present is not like the past, and the future is not going to be like the present. Go back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, write therefore, John, I want you to write this, the angel said. Write therefore what you have seen, the past, and what is now, the present, and what will take place later. Notice that phrase there, the last of the phrases is that which will take place later. Friends, I believe that arising out of the ashes of 2020 and all the change and all the messing with our schedules, there is a fresh hunger for God that's rising up. And I believe that the greatest revival we've ever known is in the future yet. God is bringing us through. There's a revival on the way. And there's a hunger for God unlike any other time I've ever seen. Bible tells us in the last days he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That our sons and daughters, they would prophesy. That our young men would have visions and our old men would dream dreams. That there would be a supernatural move of God that would take place. And friends, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not the past, nor is it merely in the present, but God has promised a glorious future for each and every one of us and for his church. The best is yet to come. You see, friends, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we hear so much about this new normal. Well, who is going to determine what the new normal is? Are we going to allow that new normal to be determined by election? Will we determine that the new future and the way we operate is going to be by mandate or by something else? I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe that we are to get along with the Holy Spirit and that we have been given the privilege and the opportunity to craft what ministry is going to look like in our city, our state, our nation, and our world in the future. And I believe that God is going to give us insight. He's going to give us an anointing for such a time as this. Thinking to the past for a moment. As a church, we had over 300 ministries, most of which served us very well in the past. I read an article the other day regarding seven things we'll never see again at Disney World. And of the seven things, there were two that I took rather personal. There will be no more buffets. No more cafeterias. No more lines where you're packed in like sardines in a can. And the list went on and on. Seven things, they said, we'll never see again at Disney. For these last days, I believe God is raising up churches to be lean, clean, saving machines. And I believe he's saying, get rid of all the fluff. Get rid of the things that have no value as you move forward. And I believe that God is going to show us that which ought to be kept, that which we ought to find is brand new. God is always doing something exciting, fresh, if we'll only listen to his voice. And I believe the best is yet to come for the church of Jesus Christ. Now I fear, in our attempts to make the future mirror the known and comfortable past. Listen carefully what I'm saying. I fear in our attempts to make the future mirror the known and comfortable past, we will miss the fresh anointing desperately needed and desired by this present generation. During the midst of the Babylonian captivity, some were remembering the good old days in Jerusalem. Remember, they had been forcibly taken out of their land, taken from Jerusalem, taken from Israel, and they were marched off into Babylon. And while they're there in Babylon, many of them had their names robbed from them. You read about that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which was their Babylonian names. Their Jewish names were taken from them, so they were given new names. They were given strange food. This will now be your diet. And you're living in a strange land, singing a strange song. You're surrounded by strange things. And in the midst of it all, these captives begin to think about Jerusalem. And they begin to think about how wonderful it's going to be to get back to Jerusalem. I want to get back to the old normal. I want to go back to what once was. I want to go back to, a language I understood, to food that I enjoyed, and it was kosher, and the list grew on and on and on. And they began to remember the good old days in Jerusalem, while at the same time refusing to make the most of the present because God had placed them there for such a time as this. And if you begin to look at it, they begin to moan and begin to groan. And they were so concerned about wanting to go back to Jerusalem, back to the old ways. Here's what God told them. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 5, he said, you're going to be here for a while. And because you're going to be here for a while, I want you to settle down. I want you to build houses. I want you to have children. I want you to marry. And I want you to have grandchildren. I want you to live for the moment. I do not want you pining so much to go back to Jerusalem that you miss out on the lessons of this moment. And in the midst of it all, God said to him in verse 11, which is the most quoted verse out of Jeremiah 29. But before you get there, I want to remind you that he told them very clearly, you need to settle down, build houses, plant gardens. I want you to take and marry, have children, grandchildren. You're going to be here for a while. So get out of your mind that you're going right back to the old. He said, but this I want you to know. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. This moment is not for your harm. It's not for your destruction. I want to prosper you. I do not want to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Notice in the midst of the dark hour, he says, I have a plan for you. Friend, I want you to know, in the midst of your confusion right now, in the midst of this merry-go-round of change that is happening. You're not sure whether you're coming or going half the time. Everything has changed. It has changed the way you live at home and who you can socialize with and where you can go. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on, and how you work and whether you work from home or whether you go in. All of these things, you know, inside of your mind today, all this change, and especially if you are a guardian like I am, you're saying, I want the old. I want to go back. And God said, I want you to go forward. Do not go back. I've got new things in store for you. I've got better things in store for you. I know in the midst of all of this, I know the plans I'm working for you. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Have you ever considered the fact that out of all the change in the world, and there is so much of it, and this year has been filled with it, that in the midst of it all, we are connected to an unchanging God. All may change, but Jesus never. Listen to what it says. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. For I'm the Lord. I am Jehovah. I'm the covenant keeper. I am the Lord. I change not. Everything else may be changing round about you. And you're not sure about your job. You're not sure about, you know, the functions of everyday life anymore. You're not even sure. I was over at Farm and Fleet, and I was going down one of the aisles and, you know, just kind of looking up and around, and I didn't notice that I was going against the one-way marker on the floor. And all of a sudden, I started getting the stink eye. You know, you're not even sure how to shop anymore. And all this change that's going on. Don't sit there. All right, all right. You can't use that door. All right, all right. And we just kind of get fed up with it all. In the midst of it all, God said, all this change may be happening, but I want you to know I am the Lord. I'm the final authority. And I change not. And because I do not change, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see, dear friends, our hope as Christians is based on the immutable character of God. And that term immutable is a theological term which simply means never changing and cannot and will not change. That is our God. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and what, church? Forever. He changes not. No matter how much change is going on, he changes not. But you know what he does do? He affects the most important change that'll ever happen in a life. You know, when we got married, me and my wife, Sherry, and it changed our lives. I mean, in very small ways and very big ways. You know, it changed. And I was used to having the bed all to myself. Now I could flop around. Now I get. And she's dead asleep. At least she tells me she was asleep. I think sometimes she's fooling. But it changed, you know, in every area. I mean, we could not have breakfast food without having onions cut up in it. I mean, she loves onions. And I've come to love onions. Either that or not eat, one of the two. all this change stuff around us. I mean, there's a lot. I remember when our firstborn, Stacy, was born. I mean, in the hospital, she was the perfect baby. And then we put her in the car to bring her home. You see, the guardian wanted to return her back and say, we'll pick you up when you're 21. Oh, it changed our life. Then John came and it changed in another way. And then Stephanie, another way. And grandchildren, another way. But you know what? The one that has changed my life forever. And only, and I know you can testify, only changed us for the good and for the better. The Bible says this, behold, old things pass away, all things become new, and are of Christ. The past is gone, and he's at work in our hearts and lives. I want you to just quiet yourself with God for a moment. Will you do that, please? I want you to think about past, present, and future. I want you to think about your life in those three time zones, the past, the present, and the future. Father, we're so glad that in a changing world and all the stuff that changes round about us, that you remain the same. I am the Lord your God. I change not. Lord, we're so glad that you can be our rock. And time again throughout the Old Testament, you're referred to as our rock. The Bible even says that the enemies that we may have in life, they know that our rock is not like theirs. Lord, we're so glad that we can plant our feet on the rock. And know no matter how much change and how much shaking is going on, we're safe and we're secure in the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. Father, we're so glad that you have the key to change in our lives. Lord, we can try, we can turn over new leaves, only to find that in a very short time we fail and have gone back to the old. But Lord, would you work in our lives last for eternity? Lord, I pray in the next few moments, Lord, there'll be some lives that are going to experience the change of salvation. They will experience what it means to have the load of the past removed. And that in the present, there would be a brand new hope. And as they look towards the future, it would be so bright. Lord, I pray for those that are in the midst of a lot of change and they're really trying to find their equilibrium once again. Everything seems so new and so different, and memories go back just like the Israelites while in Babylon. I want to go back. I want to go back to the old. Father, I pray that we'd learn how to go forward, realizing, Lord, that the best is ahead of us, not behind. And as good and as wonderful and as precious as the moments have been in the past, Lord, we're going to grab a hold of the future because you're the God that's always looking forward. And I pray, oh God, that lives once again that are struggling in the midst of change would find a new stability, knowing that all may change, Jesus never. That their God, the God of the universe, changes not. And that he's got a plan for your life. Fear not. For I have redeemed you and I've called you by name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the deep waters, you will not drown. And when you go through the fires of affliction, they will not burn you. I am the Lord your God. Lord, we're so glad you make promises like that to us. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, and no one looking around for a moment, a sacred moment before God, some of you have heard and you've said, I want to give my life to Christ today. I want the past removed. The things that I wish that I would never experience and never gone through, the sins I've committed, I'm finished with that. I don't want that around. I don't want my life. I don't want it separating me from God. I want to be forgiven. I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to know what it means to be transformed, to be changed by the power of His Holy Spirit. If that's you today, just wave at me. Say, that's me, Pastor. Yes, God bless you, friends. Yes, all over this room. Let me ask another question this morning. How many in the house today would say, you know, I'm really trying to find my way in the midst of all this change. And I'm a little frustrated at times, and I'm a little longing for the old at times, and there's just a lot going on in my mind and having a hard time putting it all together. But I know that God can help me, and I want to come to the one that's unchanging this morning. And I want to ask Him to guide me and direct me to make my path through all of the roadblocks and changes that have happened. And I want to simply come and say, Lord, I want you to direct my life. How many would say, that's me today? I'm going through a lot of change, a lot of things. I need God's help. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do this morning. As the worship team begins to sing, I'm going to ask you to come and spread out here in the front. I want to pray for you. Lives are altered at the altar. You can do more in your heart and your life in one moment at an altar. You come as they begin to sing.